Hi, welcome to another episode of By His Grace. Today, my guest is Charity Bradshaw. Charity and I are going to be talking about marriage because Charity and her husband, Ted, have a book that is coming out. So without further ado, welcome, Charity. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
So I know that marriage is one of the subjects that you're passionate about, and it's what your new book is about. So let's talk about your marriage struggle, or something that you have seen as struggles in marriage, and why don't you share about that?
Sure. Well, one of the things that got us passionate about marriage was we both are children of divorce, and not just one divorce, multiple divorces. On my husband's side, there's three per person. And on my side, there's three at least per person. So we saw just a litany of damage from all the fallout of these divorces. Thankfully, I was able to witness my grandparents' marriage as one that I was like, okay, this is something worth wanting. This is something worth striving for and waiting for. And thankfully we had that, because otherwise I feel like we would never have had any idea of what a marriage could have been. And we saw everything from horrible to average to, you know, infidelity. I mean, we saw everything. And so one of our biggest passions when we got married was to intentionally set up our relationship with healthy boundaries that protected our relationship, that protected against some of those things that we saw growing up that really destroyed and undermined the marriage that we had in our homes.
Yeah. And what would you say is one of the biggest issues that undermines that marriage relationship?
The thing that I want to focus on today, because obviously in our book, we go through about 12 or so different important topics. But the biggest one that we've seen, and we continue to see even in some of our friends' relationships or our siblings' relationships, things like that, is communication and communication breakdown. And one of the things as a woman, I feel like a lot of times we as wives want to make our issues our husband's problems, when really they are a lot less complex on certain things than we are. And we make things complicated and then expect them to read our thoughts, read our minds. And that's just simply not in their agenda or skill set. And it shouldn't have to be. I don't believe husbands should be required to be mind readers in order to be good husbands.
Yeah, I did, when as you were saying that, I thought about, how are you? I'm fine. But I'm obviously not fine. So why would I say I'm fine? Why would I not say, you know, this really hurt my feelings when you did this, or, you know, it would really help me out if you could do this, or if we would really communicate, but we don't. Or we get upset about something. So what are some of the other things that you have seen?
So with that, I'm fine. That is a form of lying.
Yeah.
And we dismiss it. You know, omission is just as much a sin as commission. But yet we don't view it that way. We look for those, okay, well, infidelity is a committed sin. This is a committed sin. Well, omitting the truth, omitting our feelings, omitting our heart from our communication to our spouse is, to me, just as much of a sin. And it's a sin against ourselves. We really are doing it against ourselves. We think that we're protecting or shielding, or even for me, it was, I don't want to come across immature or needy.
Right.
When really I was needy, and I needed my husband to meet a need that he was capable of meeting. But if I didn't avail him that opportunity, I was the one suffering. Yeah. I withheld it from myself. And part of my, you know, trying to mask those needs came from, you know, there were times when my dad dismissed my needs. And so in my mind, it kind of set this thing of, well, they're not going to get met anyway, or they're going to minimize your needs, or maybe my husband will also minimize my needs and then make me feel bad for even having them. And thankfully, through, you know, just communicating, I realized, oh, my husband was going to believe me. And he did actually want to act upon my needs and help facilitate me getting them met, not just dismiss them or ignore them or play them down.
That's great. You know, I think communication is vital to a healthy marriage. And I think I have seen in our marriage where sometimes I have said something to my husband, but what he heard is something totally different. Do you have something to say along that lines? Yeah.
So one of the, like, I mean, and I don't think we invented this, but one of the things that we do is, okay, I said this, what did you hear me say? Like, say it back to me. And I, like I said, I don't think we invented that, but I mean, that's just a practice that, you know, what did you hear me say? Because something is not matching up here. And a lot of times that's because we, as women, I'll speak as a woman, we want to say, like, we want to either make sure we're not hurting their feelings too much. We want to make, and so it ends up getting very convoluted. And what one of the things I appreciate that my husband gives me the feedback on is he's like, I love that I never wonder what you're thinking.
That's good.
I lay it out there because if I don't, he's got nothing to work with.
Right.
He knows that he can trust that if I'm feeling it, I'm sharing it. Now, obviously, I do take a moment to evaluate if what I'm going to say is sin.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I think that whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are, like, we have to be careful because I'm the same way and I can speak my mind, but then I have to go, is that kind? Is it loving? You know, maybe that should just stay an inside thought and maybe I need to take that thought captive.
So recognizing what part of what I'm about to say is actually me. And what part of it is him and taking ownership of my part before I air it out.
Yeah.
You know, like if I, like my husband will ask what my schedule is because he will then be able to evaluate when he comes home, is she going to be drained?
Right.
Is she going to have like, did she have friend time? Did she get excited because of friend time? Or did she have a bunch of difficult clients? Those kinds of things. And so then he can do some damage control just based on me telling him, okay, well, I've got this coming up and this coming up, that kind of thing. Or even have what I call a communication calendar. Where we know what's going on.
Yeah, I think that has been one of the biggest things in our marriage, especially because we are both very busy and we do it, we try to mitigate that problem and it being a problem. And we kind of talk like, this is what our week looks like. I'm going to be here. You're going to be there just from a planning standpoint. But then we have daily touch points so that I know, so that he knows, like, am I going to be expected to have dinner on the table at a certain time for him to come home? Or is he going to be out with a client that night? And can I just order pizza for the kids? You know?
Yeah.
So like all of those, that communication just really helps, you know,
and it's prevention.
It is.
You're preventing a fight. You're preventing an argument. You're preventing strain.
Yes. Yeah. So what other communication tools do you recommend? Is there any other?
Oh, gosh. I mean, how long do we have? So one of the things that we're also big on with that communication is honesty. And this is something that, especially if you're in the newer years of marriage, maybe you haven't quite flexed these muscles just yet.
Yeah, I like the way you say that.
But one of the phrases in our books, one of the subtitles is, speak now or forever eat those peas. And we have a thing because, you know, we've been on a health journey and stuff like that. And so we are experimenting with different recipes and we have a policy that we will not eat things that we don't like. We just, that is a rule because life is short, you know? So if it's going to be healthy, it's got to at least taste good. And so we've been experimenting with these, like, you know, low carb breads, and some of them are just like cardboard with some crust, you know? And if we don't like it, like we've gotten to a point now where we can acknowledge the effort that went in. If one of us made something and we really put in the effort and we're really trying to thank the other person for the effort and just say, but no thanks, let's not make this one. Again, and just being honest, and it's a gift.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the gift of this feedback, not because I don't appreciate the effort, but maybe this is just one that we don't try again. And again, for me, that goes back to what I witnessed in my, you know, family's marriages.
Right.
A lot of unfulfilled needs going on. A lot of selfish take behavior. And I wasn't really going to have that. Like, I mean, to me, I'd rather just mess up my own life as a single person than get married to somebody who's not going to even try to meet my needs. And so for me, it was a value to set up before. But I understand that there are people who've had various experiences. And so this may be something that maybe you've had a history of not feeling like you could communicate. Start small and say, okay, can we talk about growing our sex life, or can we talk about, you know, trying different things or whatever? And I would suggest also not having these conversations while you're in bed, in your bedroom.
Right. That's
taking
wise.
That out of the bedroom and maybe really on the couch and, you know, slow your life down, maybe have a beverage of your choice and just take some time to say, you know, I really want to even, you know, grow our intimacy sexually together.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Because there are a lot of different forms of communication. Mm-hmm. So there are the things that we say, there's the things that our body language says. Mm-hmm. And so I just think keeping those lines of communication open in general is going to help us to be more intimate.
One of the things too, that I feel like I am for my home, and maybe you are for your home, is I feel like I can feel the climate. I can feel the emotional climate. And that is part of my role for our family, is constantly measuring and checking, not just with me and my husband, but my children. I'm paying attention to their mood, their stature, how are the countenance, how are they coming home? How are they with that friend? You know, those kinds of things. And with my marriage, with my husband, he is not as sensitive to any distance between us. And I can feel if an inch has come, a foot has come, you know, like that's more of what I am very aware of and sensitive to. And so I will make sure in that communication that I'll say, I feel like there's a gap. I feel like there's something there. And he'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I have to help him figure out what we're talking about, you know? And not that he's trying to be oblivious. He just is not that's not his lane. And so I do take that as that's my lane, to protect the emotional climate of our home and make sure that we are on the same page, that we feel that closeness. And last night we were leading a small group for our marriage book, Saying I Do. And we talked about the love languages, because I think that's a great book as well.
Yes.
Understanding how we receive, and because the love languages, obviously just, it speaks that this is a communication form. This is how I communicate. And so back to that honesty thing, is knowing how my husband receives it. That's how I need to give it to him. You know, I could sit there and clean the house and he will not love me, or not think that I shared any more love with him than if I rubbed his back, you know, like.
Yes. Well, I had never read the book until recently, and we just got the Love Nudge app. Mm. And the Love Nudge app is from the makers of the 5 Love Languages, and it gives you a quiz. It's a fun little app that you can download. You do a quiz, so you find out what your needs are, what your spouse's needs are. And I really learned a lot just in taking that little quiz, because what I thought were my needs were not necessarily my needs. And mm-hmm. so like you said, like he could bring me gifts home every single day, but if I really just want him to unload the dishwasher mm-hmm. and pick up his socks, then my love tank's not going to feel full. Mm-hmm. And with the Love Nudge app too, you can send little reminders, and you can like set appointments. So, we're going to have a date on Friday, or mm-hmm. you can send them, you know, fun little emojis, or you can set goals. And so, yeah, that's a fun little tool that we've been using recently that we have really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned your book, Saying I Do. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that for a minute. Tell me about Saying I Do.
So our goal, first off, we really didn't ever want to write a book about marriage, because the last thing that we wanted people to do was to put our marriage in a fishbowl and watch us. Like, please don't watch us. We're just normal people. We've got 4 kids. You know, life is it's a normal family life, you know. But people were coming to us and saying, oh, you know, you guys have such a great marriage, you should write a book. And honestly, like, it literally just took enough people telling us that to actually sit down and pen it, because what we thought was normal, because that was what our experience was, we're around other marriages, and the older we've got, it was, wow, this maybe our marriage isn't like a lot of marriages. And we began to think about the fact that, okay, here our children are growing up, and the people that they're going to marry, their parents are probably in the thick of things. And what better things could I do than to maybe help reach out? And I don't even know who my kids are going to marry. They're all like under the age of 13 right now. But I'm like, right now our country is floundering. Like, there is such a fabric decay, and it's at the cellular level of the family.
That's right. That's right.
And for us, it was, we maybe can't help everybody, but maybe we can help some. Maybe we can help those that are like, okay, we're not necessarily on the throes of in the throes of divorce, but marriage has become routine, not relationship.
Yes.
Maybe marriage has become roommates and not lovers, and maybe marriage has become ritual, like where it's just like movement and schedules and meals and not like warm and affectionate and engaged.
Yes, I see that in my husband and I have a fantastic marriage, but in some of our friends we see that, but also just in my writing for wives, because sometimes people think, you know, oh, we just need to write to those young wives. And yes, young wives need to be written to, but I just had a conversation today. You know, once you become an empty nester, you have to be nurturing that marriage relationship all along the way, mm-hmm. or you are our roommates. Strangers. Yeah. Yeah. And then when your kids are gone, you have nothing that tethers you together. Mm-hmm. So, what are some ways that you guys, do y'all practice regular date nights? What are some ways that y'all nurture your marriage?
So our phrase is together is better. Yes. Like we prefer to be together.
Yeah.
And so my husband's a nurse and I'm self-employed. So we structure our time off together as much as possible. We do regular date nights, and thankfully our oldest child is old enough now that he can be in charge of babysitting. So we got a raise, no more paying babysitters, at least not for very much. And, but also, I mean, we build our, like go to Costco together or go to this together. And 'cause I would just rather be with him,
yeah.
You know, and he'd rather be with me. And that's kind of how we do things. And we tackle the children together. It's not like, okay, well, you do this. And we don't segregate our lives.
You know, I think that's a very important thing that you just said there, because I think that's how my husband and I are. I mean, when the kids were young, going to Costco was our date night, or the grocery store.
Yes,
because
Target.
You know, that's what we could do at that stage in mm-hmm. our life in that season. And, you know, we did what we could, but we are always together, and mm-hmm. we plan to be together, mm-hmm. and we tell each other everything about our day at the mm-hmm. end of the day. You know, I know as much about his office and what's going on with his work, and he knows probably more than he cares to know about all of the things that I'm doing. But it helps to create an intimacy.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and the thing with intimacy is knowing and being known.
Yes.
It's knowing and being known. And it's that, you know, like there was a movie that Susan Sarandon had this quote, and she was talking about, you know, the thing about love is it's having the person that cares about your day. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of infatuation and physical attraction, but intimacy is they're the person that cares about your day. And you get to be the person that cares about their day and the details, the minutia, the who annoyed you, the, you know, who cut you off, the, oh my gosh, the crazy story about blood, whatever it is. Like they're the person that, you know, that really wants to listen, and they care, and they value when you triumph something, and they're there with you when something did not go well. And that I love getting to be that for him. I love getting to, I call it just championing him.
Yes.
I'm looking to champion him.
That is so good. You know, one of our modern technologies, our phone, mm-hmm. I have found that I have to be really intentional about setting my phone down and mm-hmm. like just looking into his eyes and getting that FaceTime with each other, because mm-hmm. I think that we can get really busy and we can be on our phone doing our mm-hmm. work things or our laptops or whatever, and we could be together, and that's good. Mm-hmm. And I like that. But we also have to be intentional to mm-hmm. put our devices down. Mm-hmm. Do y'all have any methods that you do?
Yeah, like one of my biggest things is if we're going to go on a date night, we try to find restaurants with no TVs.
Good.
Like that's seriously a thing.
Yeah.
And my husband, with the best of intentions, like it's like it sucks him in, and he does not mean to ignore me, but it can be Elmo and he'll be staring at it. Like he won't even care, but it will just distract him because that's, you know, he's just that way. And he's a one track person. And I'll be talking to his ear and I'm like, I need your face, you know, right. Give me your face. And so we do try, if we're looking for one of those, you know, times where it's like a conversational date, where there's just no TVs, and that's kind of a hard standard because nowadays people are just putting TVs everywhere.
Yes.
But even if it means that we go to a place and we take the food to go, and then we, you know, just go somewhere else with that food, then that's what we do. So that's one of the things. Another thing is we are very intentional about protecting our white space. And this is something you were talking earlier about. I just keep picking stuff up, and that really just jams that white space down and makes it smaller and smaller. And because, you know, people automatically assume, oh, you're so busy. And I'm like, actually, busy is not a compliment to me. If somebody thinks I'm busy, I actually think that's kind of like rude. I'm like, I actually get to decide my life. I plan my life. I'm very intentional about what comes on my plate and what doesn't, because I prioritize my marriage, because I prioritize now over these last 18 months, I prioritize my health.
Yes.
You know, like even today I was a few minutes late because I was like, I need to get my exercise in, or the rest of the day I'm going to feel bad about it.
Yeah.
And that's, I used to not decide it that way. I used to decide, well, be on time, that's more important. It's like, no, taking care of you is more important. And I do try my best to be on time everywhere, but certain days it doesn't work out. But that's one thing too, is putting those things first.
Yes.
You know, and we love, I know, I, let me rephrase that. I don't love PTA. I don't love bringing things to school. Like I don't like dress up days, and I intentionally avoid as much extracurricular commitment as I can. I will throw money at stuff, but don't ask me to like make cupcakes or anything like that. You know, just because I'm protecting myself, I'm protecting my sanity, and we have to learn that ability does not equal responsibility.
That's good.
Ability does not equal responsibility.
I agree with you completely. We keep a lot of blank space on our calendar intentionally. Mm-hmm. We don't overfill our weekends. My husband didn't even allow our kids to do sports when they were young because he said, we're not going to spend every Saturday on a field. Mm-hmm. When I've been at work all week, I want to have my family and I mm-hmm. want to have that time. And so we have tried to be very intentional about the way we live. And, it's good. It's a good thing. Okay. So, let me ask you about, have y'all struggled with communication in your marriage? And if you have, how have you seen God move or work through that?
Yeah, I think, I'll speak for both of us since I get to, he's not here. So for me, I initially veiled a lot of weakness. When my husband met me, in his mind, I was like strong, bold, and I still am those things, but a lot of that was fake. A lot of that was just like, "What? This is what I want you to see, because if you really knew all the stuff, then you might not be so impressed." And so for me, I would mask my feelings of needing him. Like, for example, when we moved from Dallas to Nashville when we first got married, and I'm an extrovert, and we moved there knowing no one. And so whenever he got home, I would literally be so clingy because, you know, he was all I saw, you know, because I was still trying to like find a job and meet friends. And this was right after 9/11. So jobs were squashed. And but at the same time, I was sitting there encouraging him, trying to make friends and trying to like, because I thought that was the right thing to do. I felt it, and it probably was the right thing to do to help, because he's an introvert. And so for him, he's fine with it being just me and him. And I'm like, no, you should make friends and you should go out. And then when it came time for them asking him to go somewhere, I would say, sure, you can go if you really want to, like, and I'd be mad, you know, and then I'd be emotional, and he could tell that I'm like, the tears are welling up while I'm saying go, but I'm not meaning go.
Yeah.
And he would be like, why are you sending me these mixed messages? And he was like, you're saying one thing and then your body is like crying and you're curling up into a ball. And because I was trying to be like what I thought I was supposed to be at that time. And at that time I did not know, but I was going through depression. I'd never been to depression before. I didn't know what that felt like or looked like. And I literally have almost like a separation anxiety from him, but I was trying to like be strong. I was trying to send him out there and like face whatever it was. Cause all these voices in my head were louder when he wasn't there. And like when he was there, they would be like all the stuff saying, oh, you're this or you're that, you know, just all that negative self-talk.
Yeah.
And what I should have said was, I do want you to have friends, but I said, but right now I need you. That's what I should have said in those moments, instead of saying, yes, go. And I almost would start a fight to make him go. So when he was there, he'd feel bad and, you know, come home early or something, like some twisted. And I mean, I know you're probably laughing out there because you might have done some of these stupid things like this. But once I got to the point where I could say, you know what, I do want you to have friends, but I'm feeling particularly crappy right now. And I really, can I either go with you? And like, just be, I'll be the extra person. I don't care, but I don't think I'm really good to be by myself right now. And while that was to me humiliating, I didn't want to need, like, I didn't want to be broken like that, but that was really where I was. And so for me, the struggle was admitting my weakness and letting him actually be there for who I was at that time, not who I was trying to make him think I was.
Yeah.
And on his side, he has just been like, he's just a stable kind of guy. And he went through a time, his mom left their family when he was 6 years old. So he grew up without a mom, without his mom, I should say. He had a couple, you know, stepmoms here and there. But none of them were really healthy individuals. And we, at the age of 36, he had the opportunity, his mom, somebody found his mom and she came back into our lives. And he grown up Ted, knew, could understand the facts of why she was gone for 30 years, but all of a sudden this like anger started cooking in him. But he kept it, you know, he would try to squash it, but you know, if something happened with one of our kids or whatever, it would just like raw, like come out. And I got to say to him, I know that adult Ted has figured this out and can dismiss it, can move past it, but little kid Ted, little child Ted with a mountain of questions is mad.
Yeah.
And while I'm not trying to be like all like psychobabble, it was true. Like there was this injured part of him that wanted you know, hard answers. Why have you been gone for 30 years?
Yeah.
And it meant, but it manifested in anger on a totally different side of things. It didn't manifest towards her. It manifested towards our children.
Yeah.
And so we had to go through him actually communicating, okay, these are real feelings. These aren't immature. These aren't, well, I don't understand. This is an injured part that needs to be touched on and dealt with and addressed in a way that you can get it out and it can be healthy and it can produce growth. And they're not, this isn't an ugly side of you. This is a beautiful side of you that I still accept. I still love. I still want to hug this part of him, you know, and let him know, obviously, that that's not going to be me.
Yeah.
You know, he would see what would trigger it with the children was especially our son, who was right about that age that when Ted was, when his mom left, mm-hmm. he got into a really mouthy phase. And he's really normally a good laid back kid, but he got really mouthy at this age. And what was happening in my husband was he would hear my son talk and he would get so angry at him talking back to me. And what was happening was that voice inside of him was, don't you make your mother so mad she leaves. Mm-hmm. Even though he could not say those words,
right, that's
what was happening. And he was just taking all this frustration out on our son when our son was acting out. And there were times when I had to just step in and say, you're not mad at him. It may feel like you're mad at him, but this is not who you're mad at. This isn't the source.
Yeah.
You know? And so being able to patiently, and we write about this in the book, and like I even say in the book, we covered this in like three paragraphs, and it may seem all neat and tidy right there in those three paragraphs. Right. We're talking like years and hard conversations and reaffirmation of our love and our commitment to each other through the ugly, through the crying, through the unfairness of things that happened.
Yeah.
And validating those feelings, like that was not fair. It was not right. It did hurt. But yet at the same time, now we have this, we've been able to grow a relationship with her. And it's awesome because now we've had her back in our life almost 9 years.
And that is something that can only happen by the grace of God.
Yeah. By his grace.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the fact that our children know her and like they absolutely adore her. She comes and spends like a month at a time with us. And it truly, you know, I easily could have pitted against her because of how she hurt him.
Yes.
But at the same time, I'm like, that's not our testimony. That's not our God. That's not our life. And that's not going to be our story. And so to me, that just, I love that we finally were nudged to get that book finished because maybe not everything will parallel exactly with your life. But I think that if you read it with the idea of, I might learn something that I can apply to this, or I can apply to this, or a strategy of how I can avoid this pain.
Yes.
Because it's just a lot of stuff that we do to ourselves is just unnecessary. We create drama. We create distance. We create whatever based on just a fear that we have that may be unrelated.
Right.
And so our goal and our heart with this book is just to help enrich and to help support, you know, marriages, exposing, like we had to decide, okay, what are we going to let out there? Because it's out there, you know, but we laid it all out. I mean, we really didn't hold back.
But you know, that is where the Lord can really come in and can, get freedom, can mm-hmm. provide freedom in mm-hmm. people's lives. Yeah. Because if we keep, if we just put on a mask and pretend like everything is good, it doesn't give the Lord the opportunity to heal it. So by you being vulnerable enough to be open with that, you're going to help people mm-hmm. in their marriages. Because you're right, they may not have the exact same thing that they've gone through, mm-hmm. but they will be able to identify to different pain points mm-hmm. within their life or different things that they'll be able to take away from it. Yeah. So where can they find you? Where can they find your book?
Absolutely. So you can right now. So the book comes out March 5th. So I don't know when you're listening to this, but if it's after March 5th, you can order it right now. But if it's before March 5th, you can pre-order at tedandcharity.com or Amazon or Barnes and Noble, any of those places, wherever you get your books, go there. Obviously I'd love to sell you one because then I can sign it for you and we can sign it for you. But tedandcharity.com is where you can pre-order the book. Also my website, charitybradshaw.com. We've got some stuff on there too. And follow us, Ted and Charity Bradshaw on Facebook.
Excellent. Now say the name of the book one more time.
Staying I Do, Committed, Connected, and Crazy in Love for a Lifetime.
Oh, love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Charity. This has been so fun. Awesome.
Thank you.
thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Phillip, and I would love to connect with you there.